interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Standing by.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
1037 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 1037 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy Friday to you. It is the TGIF April 5 edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports live from the UL Track and Field Complex on 1037 The Game. Ben Love pumped up for the third straight year to be at the Beaver Club Relays. This is the 12th annual installment of the Lafayette Parish Track and Field Championships, all 10 Parish teams being represented today. We got a great guest list. In fact, in about 1 minute, Johanna Duplantis will join us right out of the gate. She's had her only event in the rear view. We'll talk about her claiming the title today in the girls' pole vault momentarily at 4:30. Lon Batto, head coach of the UL Raging Cajuns, will sit in with us. Give us a little insight into his program, the boys, the girls, what they're doing as they inch closer toward the Sun Belt Conference Championships and hopefully beyond for a number of the individuals and the team at large. At straight up 5 o'clock, we'll take a break from some of the track and field madness. James Moran, Tiger Rag Magazine, will take you inside the on-deck circle. It'll be a live hit from Alec Box Stadium. We'll probably talk a little bit about one of Johanna's brothers, I would imagine. Antoine and the Tigers taking on Texas A&M tonight. And we'll have James Moran from the box at 5 o'clock. At 5:45, STM Cougar Meredith Hebert will join us. She's coming to run track next year for these Raging Cajuns, and she'll be in between events at that time. So at 5:45, Meredith Hebert steps in. And at straight up 6 o'clock, you're no stranger to him if you listen to this program, Zach Claymont. And Zach has been a force for LCA football, going to play for the Northwestern State Demons after this season. He'll be in between events as well at 6 o'clock. He'll step up into the press box and join us. And we step aside at 6:30 today. Pre-game show from Alec Box Stadium begins at 6:30, first pitch at 7 o'clock. Needless to say, we're locked and loaded today on a Friday. And joining me here inside the press box, it is Johanna Duplantis, a pole vault champion at the 5A level last year as a freshman, and she's already done today, as I mentioned. At about 3 o'clock, she took on the girls' pole vault champion with an even 10-foot jump. Johanna, welcome to the program. Thanks for leading us off today.
Thank you.
All right, give us a little bit of insight into what your freshman year was like and everything that you accomplished, the things that you want to continue to get better at.
Well, my freshman year, I was going in as a little freshman, not knowing what to expect. But I won state outdoor, and I got second indoor. So I was proud to get first outdoor at state. So, yeah.
And tell me a little bit about today. 10 feet even the jump. Last year in the outdoor, you did 11 feet, 6.5 inches. So obviously, even you know that you've got room to continue growing. But what did it mean to get this one out of the way early today?
Well, today didn't go like expected. I was expecting 12 foot, which is my PR. But, you know, mistakes happen. So, yeah.
Mistakes happen, and yet you still won. And so there's some positive takeaways, I would imagine, from today. We're talking with Johanna Duplantis here at the 12th Annual Beaver Club Relays. And your brothers that have preceded you. Was it fun to watch what they did? Were you just itching for your turn? What's it been like these last couple of years? They go through the high school and then college ranks.
Oh, definitely. It was a blast watching them. I always looked up to them, and I want to be like them for sure. So watching Mondo last year win this, and I wanted to just keep it going.
What do you make out of his freshman year so far at LSU? I'm not sure that many people expected anything different, but as you know, it's hard to continue to answer the bell, but he does it every single time, it seems like.
Well, I mean, he's doing great, and he's...
You think he's enjoying college so far? I know that he's had all the international competitions, right? So he's been able to see the world, compete against the best.
Oh,
is,
yeah.
Is this something you think he was looking forward to?
He was for sure looking forward to college because better competition and a lot of a better environment, like a good environment. And yeah.
When is the first time you remember pole vaulting? How old were you?
The first time I remember was 7 years old.
And how was your introduction to that? Obviously, with your father and some of the great coaches you've had, was that an easy introduction, or did you just see it and you know, okay, hold on, this is going to be a little more difficult than I thought?
Well, we have a pit in our backyard, so I would just go mess around there, and then I just picked it up, watching Mondo and my dad and Twani and all that.
So is Twani at all the outcast because he's the baseball player?
Yeah, a little bit. Well, he did pole vault, and then he didn't like it, so he decided to do baseball, which is going good for him, so.
It's working out pretty well, mm-hmm. I would say. This time last year, your brother Mondo came in and decided to compete in some other events, presumably to help out Lafayette High, and won the 100 meter. Mm-hmm. And I think that caught a lot of people off guard.
You know, yeah,
Trajan,
for sure.
Jones for Carrick, a lot of talented young men were racing there. Anything else that you like kind of stretching out when you're healthy and have an opportunity to compete more than just the pole vault? Any other favorite events for you?
I like triple jump, which I was going to do, but coincide with pole vault, so I couldn't do triple jump, but I really enjoy doing triple jump too, and I tried high jump a little bit.
What's the experience like for high schoolers to come to an atmosphere like this and compete on a college track surface?
Oh, it's for sure great. You get to experience what it's like to like the environment, and you get to see how it's like to whenever you go to college and want to do track in college, you get to feel how it is. So.
Finishing up and having fun with Johanna Duplantis, a sophomore at Lafayette High, defending state champ at the 5A outdoor level, and already a champion today at the 12th annual Beaver Club Relays. Who's the best pole vaulter in the family?
Me.
It's a pretty good answer. You're the youngest. You've got the most room to continue to improve at what you're doing. So outside of this event today, I guess tell the listeners what's next for you as you get ready again, I would imagine, for Bernie Moore at LSU in the state, state track meet.
And this summer I'm going to some meets in Europe. So, yeah.
Will that be a first time for you?
No, sir. I went last year. I was a Swedish youth champ last year for 16-year-olds, so.
Well, keep getting that 12-foot. I know that that's the PR, and stretch it out further. We appreciate you coming right out of the gate today. Johanna, good luck the rest of the way.
Thank you, man.
And how great is that? Get to start off with the champ. Her day is done early, and that's 2 years in a row. We've been lucky enough to have members of the family Duplantis, the leaping family Duplantis, to come onto the show. Got to tell you, we thought we'd have her at 4:15. She was ready to go now. So there you go, right out the gate. On the other side, we'll get to tell you a little bit about the day's news. Yes, Skylar Mays joining Tremont Waters, Naz Reid going pro, but with a bit of a twist, I've got a take on it. We'll go there next at 4:15. And then Lon Baddow, head coach of the UL track and field program, with us at 4:30. Big program today, and we're just getting started. Plus plenty on LSU and UL baseball and some of their changing schedules. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we're live for the 12th annual Beaver Club Relays on 103.7 The Game.
Winners eat nachos at a ball game and snag a foul ball barehanded without getting a drop of cheese on their shirt. Winners ride home with Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Who's the best pole vaulter in the family?
Me.
Pretty good answer. Bumper to Bumper Sports, right back out to the UL Track and Field Complex. Glad to bring you home on 103.7 The Game. And this special edition of B2BS is brought to you by Darnell Sykes Guards in Frederick and Darnell Sykes Wealth Partners. We'll get to your big news of the day with LSU basketball and what else is new every day there is something that we could share that you didn't know 24 hours prior. Before that, I got to give you the lowdown because they started this event a little bit after 2:30, and the results have been flying in. Currently, Lafayette High in the lead over LCA as far as the girls overall is going. In the team rankings, Lafayette High with 46 total points, LCA 36, and STM 23. On the boys' side of things, the Cougars right now with a commanding lead. They've got 44 points in the team rankings. Turlings Catholic with 22, Acadiana High with 14. As far as the individual results, first one out the gate, the young lady who just joined us, Johanna Duplantis from the Leaping Duplantis family. 10 feet even. She said mistakes happen. Today wasn't her best. She classified today as a mistake, and she won. Elizabeth Odene from Lafayette High in second. Lauren Lippery from Ascension Episcopal finished in third. That's the girls' pole vault. We'll speed through these and then get to some of the latest with Skylar Mays. The STM girls took the 4x800-meter relay. Meredith Hebert was a member of that team. She'll be with us at 5:45. Lafayette High girls finished second. Turlings Catholic girls in third. Again, that was the girls 4x800. And the boys long jump. Your champion today, C.J. Hill from St. Thomas More. Victor Dupree from LCA in second. Jabari Broussard from Turlings finished third. The boys 4x800. Lafayette High had top honors. STM second. Turlings Catholic third. In the girls high jump, Jordan Laverne of LCA 1, Micah Broussard for the LCA Knights 2, and you rarely see this, a tie for third. Estelle Broussard, Annie Domang, Miss Broussard from Ascension Episcopal, Miss Domang from St. Thomas More tied for third. In the girls' shot put, Bree Porter from LCA obliterated the field, and she is one heck of a post player for the Lady Knights as well. Finishing in second, Reese Grossi from Lafayette High and Kayla Parker of LCA in third. The boys' discus throw, Cameron Cannon from STM took it home. Clay Onsele from Ascension Episcopal second. Cameron Collier from Turlings in third. On to the boys' javelin, coming to play for Billy Napier as a walk-on next year for these UL football Cajuns. Dalen Cambry from St. Thomas More, the boys' javelin champ today. Derek Bercier from Acadiana High in second, and Hunter Cambry, STM in third. Finally, your last result completed to date was the girls' long jump. Lafayette High's Courtney Wiltz in first, Camille Hinserling, STM in second, and Tyler Alcorn of Turlings, she finished in third. So a lot still to go, but that is what we have so far, and they have events that'll run through just about 8:30, 8:45. And the final awards, team awards, given at 9 o'clock tonight. All right, let's dig in to what's happening with LSU basketball. Phone line's open for you, 706-0111. Skylar Mays, like Naz Reid, Tremont Waters before him, is declaring for the 2019 NBA draft. Unlike those two, he will not be hiring and retaining the services of an agent at this point. And so it leaves the door open for Skylar to pull a Waters from this time last year. And this is more than a little interesting to me, because Skylar is one of the best student-athletes you'll ever meet. It is not just my expectation. I would be absolutely floored if he doesn't become a doctor one day, right? And so this is a young man who at some point will get his PhD, but I thought for some time if he wanted to pursue a career in basketball that he'd have it. The idea that he is ready to, hate to use this term, but jump ship, it might say a little bit about how these players continue to view the state of the program that just, a week ago today, right? They were about to suit up and play in the Sweet 16. I don't know that it means they think that the ground is shaking underneath Will Wade's feet, but I think they do recognize that things may not necessarily be the same at LSU in general for the near future. And I won't speculate too much further than that, but it does seem that everybody who has an opportunity to pursue another alternative than staying at LSU, well, boy, just about everybody right now is taking that. And I wish Skylar nothing but the best, and it may be that he gets his draft evaluation and decides to come back for a senior year. That could absolutely happen with Skylar Mays. As much as I have followed that kid and respect what he is about since he was about 14 or 15 years old, it's just hard for me to imagine that he'll be one of the 60 players drafted. I'm not even certain
at all, that Trey Waters will be one of the 60 players drafted. But that's not always what it's about. I don't know how much more that Waters can improve his draft stock. With Skyler, that may be a little different. Another year of seasoning certainly couldn't hurt him. But if anybody ever had their academics in order, if anybody ever was beyond reproach as far as what's going to happen with them beyond sports, trust me when I tell you, it is Skyler Mays. So you can bet the farm on that kid. He'll be fine. But it's just another domino to fall that makes you wonder just what kind of future does this program have, at least in the intermediate stage. Because yesterday's news that Wade, LSU, angling toward the first of what would have to be a series of meetings and, I would imagine, come-to-Jesus conversations, well, we'll see what the future holds. April 22nd, the federal corruption trial has to come and go, and maybe it yields something that renders it impossible to keep Wade. Maybe it makes it possible to keep Wade, and whether they go on probation or not, they'll ride out from there. So, interesting today. I kind of assumed the next thing we would hear is that either Tony Benfer was gone. I would monitor some of these other assistants as well. Greg Heyer, when he came over from Wichita State, was somebody that everybody kind of shook their head at and said, wow, that's a hell of a get for LSU. Can you keep him if there's uncertainty around the program? So I kind of wondered if it wouldn't be Benford, Greg Heyer. I believe that Coach Armstrong's on the last year of his deal as well. So I wondered if it wouldn't be another assistant to defect next, possibly even Javonte Smart, Emmett Williams. I don't mind telling you that I did not expect Skyler May's name to be the next up in this conversation. And yet here we are, fifth day of April. You want to jump in? We got some time. Coach Batto from UL Track and Field going to be with us here a little less than 10 minutes from right now. The number to dial, 706-0111. Your other big news, LSU, UL baseball, trying to get ahead of the weather a little bit. And the Cajuns, they'll actually start a touch later tonight with this Sun Belt leading Arkansas State Red Wolves in town, 7:30 first pitch. And right now I can look over the right field wall. I'm kind of angled right behind the foul pole at the track and field complex here. So it'll be the Cajuns and the Red Wolves. And here's a chance to really plant your foot in the ground if you're Tony Robichaud's group and say, we're heading in a different direction this year. Already they've won three straight. They finished with the win at Troy to salvage one on the road in Alabama, a save by Gunnar Leje in that game. Two straight midweek wins. And if you beat Southeastern at home on the road in 24 hours, you've accomplished something. So there's some forward momentum to be certain. Now we'll see if they can do it again at home. That's the good news. But the bad, you're going to get the best that the Sun Belt has to offer at least this year. So 7:30 first pitch right over the wall from where I'm looking right now. There will be a doubleheader tomorrow. 4 p.m. was always the scheduled first pitch for the Saturday game. That will remain the same. 45 minutes after that one's over, they will play the third and final game. So they'll get ahead of the weather. No baseball Sunday. Teague Moore Field at Russo Park. And really kind of a similar formula for LSU baseball. Texas A&M in town tonight, 7 p.m. first pitch. We'll bring you up to the pregame show at 6:30. But tomorrow, they're going to play a doubleheader. 2 p.m., 7 p.m. is when LSU will finish up its series against Texas A&M. And Clint, you and I talked about this right before the broadcast. I know that there was some discussion about, hey, can you air the spring game? That's not going to be the case. The LSU Sports Radio Network, I believe, is giving us both legs of the doubleheader, but I'll let you confirm that.
That is 100% confirmed there, Ben. We'll be having the LSU doubleheader between LSU and Texas A&M. The spring game will be a no-go. That's only going to be a local broadcast in the Baton Rouge area.
There you have it. More and more coming to light as far as when they're going to play these games. And, well, I'll give you this. They're going to play when there is daylight, and they're going to play when there isn't rain. And so hopefully everybody finishes their series. Don't need any more postponed games. Getting toward the midway point, slowly but surely, getting toward the midway point of conference play for both teams. And here you have it. I've just been handed another result sheet. This one is boys pole vault. And, well, for the first time in almost half a decade, you get this event without Mondo Duplantis, although it should be noted, Mondo didn't actually compete in this one last year, if I'm not mistaken. He won the 100. I think he did either the long jump or the triple jump, maybe both, but I don't believe Mondo did this one last year. He was getting ready, as memory serves, for the Texas Club Relays. And so this year, again, obviously no Mondo, and an impressive result. Congrats to Elijah Odinay, Lafayette High. He is your boys' pole vault champ at the 12th Annual Beaver Club Relays, 15 feet even. In second, from Turlings Catholic, Remy Guillory. And in third, John Frederick from Ascension Episcopal. And so we can update those team rankings as well, at least on the boys' side. STM still with the 44 points. Turlings Catholic with 30. Lafayette High jumping into third and leapfrogging Ascension Episcopal. The Mighty Lions now with 24 points. And so as we head toward midway point of our 4 o'clock hour, I can give you those updated team standings. STM, Turlings, Lafayette High on the boys' side. On the girls, it is Lafayette High, LCA. Fairly tight heat right there between the Mighty Lions and the Knights. And then STM in third. Again, that one was for the girls. So much to get into on today's program. We're going to talk Raging Cajun track and field on the other side of this upcoming break. And then your sink or swim question of the day. You hardly ever get it to end hour number one today. That's just how it fits the best. It's a fun puzzle piece to get together every time we come out here to the UL Track and Field Complex. But we'll have Coach Lon Bado on the other side of this break. James Moran, the on-deck circle. That's your LSU A&M preview, and it's coming at you straight up 5 o'clock. Meredith Hebert coming to run for these Raging Cajuns next year. She's currently still with St. Thomas More. She'll be with us at 5:45, and it's straight up 6 o'clock. Zach Clement, LCA Knights, next year heading up I-49 to play football for the Northwestern State Demons. Full show today, so don't you go anywhere. This is B2BS. That's Bumper to Bumper Sports on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Debates never go out of style on Bumper to Bumper Sports.
Well, I had never thought of it that way.
But feel free to be right anytime you're ready to start on 103.7 The Game.
That was a fairly slick move I just tried to pull. Our next guest will probably tell you about it.
Oh, yeah.
Right back into the 12th Annual Beaver Club Relays. I'm Ben Love, joined by Coach Lon Bado, UL Track and Field, and you're listening to 103.7 The Game. Trying to do a live read into the wrong headset rarely is going to work out well.
Nope, it really doesn't.
So, you know, you've been here 9 years. Maybe by my ninth year of doing these Beaver Club Relay broadcasts, I'll have that nailed down.
Well, we are up in the track and field press box. You don't get to get up here very often.
I don't, but I'm enjoying it. I got to ask, did you get these plush leather seats put in? These weren't here this time last year.
You know, actually, it was the new soccer coach. He had a little bit of pull since he came in, and he's like, I told him, go after it. They're going to give you a little bit more since you're new. You know, but, you know, since we're on the radio and talking track and field, I'm like, yeah, that's all me.
I like that. We're gonna put that on you. Tell me about the boys and the girls this year, some of the things you're doing so far as you get closer toward conference championships and beyond.
You know, we're having a fun year. Last year was one of those years where you just want to forget about, and we were able to hire a couple of new coaches this year. Tommy Badall came in, and a young guy, Terry Hughes, who was a javelin thrower at LSU. And it's clicking. I mean, we have everybody in the office is on the same page, and, you know, the kids are getting better, and we're really competitive indoor, and we're just going to get better and better. It's just been a fun year.
This time last year, we were watching Key Alfred run for mm-hmm. Carrick Grove High School. Now he's with you. Give us a bit of an update on his progress.
Well, he's having one of those freshman years that in college where they go, well, you know, you may not run as good. He's learning that every time he gets in a race, these guys are easily as good as me or better. You know, and in high school, he was able to jog around and then show his impressive kick. And he still has that, but he realized he's got to go a little harder early or they'll run away from you.
Who are some of the others, as we continue our conversation with Lon Bado, head track and field coach here at UL, some of the other local products, we'll go boys and girls, that are making a difference for you?
I got a guy, you would love this guy. He's about 5'7", 135 pounds, and you never would guess, but he's a high jumper. Kid from Crawley. And we went to Florida Relays last week, and I called my Bumblebee. He shouldn't be able to jump as high as he does, but he jumped 7-1 last week and beat everybody in the field from all the big schools. And it very impressive. In fact, he gets in the meet, and all these guys are 6'6", 6'5", 6'4", and they look down at this poor little kid and go, well, you're not going to beat me, and they were wrong, you know. Trying to think who else is local.
So we know that Carrick-Crowe, we know that Crowley is represented. And you didn't mention Cecilia, but I'm curious if Billy Napier would ever let you borrow Raymond Calloway.
Well, we ask every year.
Okay.
And actually, it's more of he's gotten to the point where he's a real big part. And really, when for those guys come from football, it happens more as freshman and sophomore. And now he's into that junior, kind of start thinking bigger and better beyond. And he's scared to get hurt.
So, okay, this is taking us to an interesting kind of fork in the road, I think. How, for the average person, does that work when a kid's coming from high school and he wants to be dual sport, or I guess maybe sometimes you want him to be dual sport, and then during his collegiate career, how does that work to have conversations with the baseball coach, the football coach? What's that cooperation like?
We're a big family here, and especially South Louisiana. We are really a big family here. So it's really not hard. I mean, all the coaches get along, and it's easy to just call Coach Napier up and say, hey, let's talk about you know, so-and-so. And they get they have a good perspective on it. It's like, we want to send somebody to you, but we want to make sure they can help you. You know, we don't want to send you somebody that can't run fast enough or just not a very good kid, you know. So it's not a problem at all for the most part.
So along those lines, I'm a huge proponent of middle school, high school kids, no specialization, play everything, compete year-round. Is there a point where there's diminishing returns with that once you get to the college level?
College is the time where you really kind of do pick that sport that you want to go to. I'm with you. You know, middle school, high school, you play everything, develop a very well-rounded athlete. You get into college, and you see less of the dual sport kids. You know, for example, with Raymond, like I said, freshman and sophomore would probably work, but you got to get put on so much weight as a college football player that you start getting some diminishing returns in your speed, believe it or not. So it becomes a little bit tougher.
Coach Lon Beddo joining us as we sit in the chairs that he brought to the UL press box here.
Absolutely.
As we're looking over the track and field facility, and I'm glad that you mentioned Tubby Badon. And I watched some of the LCA football teams he helped to coach. Knew he did a great job with the Knights track program. What type of difference does a guy like that, a legend in these circles, what does he do for your program?
He knows everyone. So he has everybody in his phone. Really, kind of what you want on a track staff is you want that one guy who's a bulldog, who's a recruiter, who knows everybody. And that's really what we got with him, is where we were kind of missing. We weren't losing because we had bad athletes. We had good foreign athletes like everybody else and getting from all over the United States. We just weren't getting as many of the local talent. And so he was able to go out, and I think we signed 20-plus from local talent or just Louisiana talent this year. And it's going to make all the difference in the world.
This facility continues to be one that I think the kids love to compete at an event like this. From your perspective, I have to imagine that this continues to be invaluable.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we get to come see at this point, we get to see the kids that we've signed. But you get to find those hidden gems every once in a while. And, you know, a couple of years ago, we had the regional meet here, the same type of meet. And I picked up a guy, Chandler Mixon, who was a nobody. It was Hamilton Christian, you know, they barely even had a team, and now he, you know, top three in our conference in the decathlon, you know, so that's the fun part. I don't have to leave home and get to go find some young kids.
About an hour from now, Meredith Hebert is going to join us from St. Thomas More. I guess your thoughts on what she can bring, and she's a signee, obviously, with the Cajuns.
Yeah, you know, she brings just a little bit of depth to our distance program. We didn't have as many girls last year, and it really kind of showed, and this year even. So we signed 3 or 4 from the local area, and she's with a great coach. Walt Whitfield has been new to them, and she's starting to understand what he's trying to get her to do. I think she PR'd by 30 seconds last week, so I'm excited to see her run tonight.
I know she's already been part of a team that brought home. It was one of the first relays of the day. In fact, you were up here, so you probably watched it, the 4x800.
Yeah, 4x8, yeah.
It wasn't particularly close. It looks like they cleared Lafayette High, a talented group, by about 14 seconds there.
Yeah, like I said, Walt's done a good job. Of course, Timmy over at Lafayette High has been there forever, and it's kind of a clash of the distance people there, and actually Kelly LeMay's on, who's at Turling. So it's all of them who've been with this program at some point in their life, and you see that all of them going against each other. It's kind of fun.
So we'll finish here. Your program having a better year in 2019 than in 18. Let our listeners know, the fans, what's coming up next?
This year or next year?
For the rest of this outdoor season.
Yeah. We actually have a great meet next week here, and we call it the Colossa Conference Challenge. What we did is we went get four teams, us, Southern, Tulane, and Southeastern from four different conferences, and we're doing a four-way quad meet where we're going to score the meet, and it'll just be just college kids, no unattached or anything like that, and get the focus on trying to win, trying to beat the guy next to you, and don't worry about how fast you run per se. So that we're really excited. We've been trying to do that for a few years now, and we're excited to get that going. And then we'll finish up the year with a couple meets at LSU before we go to conference at Arkansas State.
You know, something else crossed my mind. You talked about we'll sign the international kids like anybody else does. How does that work in terms of recruiting and the type of wherewithal that you and your staff have to have of just so many different people from around the world?
Track and field is we have the most diverse group on campus. I mean, they're everything in between, and it's track and field's pretty easy. You just, you know exactly what you, the times don't lie on the track, so it's like, okay, I'm gonna get you and put you in here and get you and put you in here for the sprints, and it's pretty simple.
But as far as having, I guess, where do you come across some of these kids that compete on an international level?
Well, it's a lot of it, a lot of times the international kids will get in touch with you. But, for example, last year I sent my distance coach, Aaron Beatty, to Ireland to try to recruit some kids. Him and I went to Barbados last summer and recruited.
Wasn't recruiting, was it?
Yeah, it was recruiting. Okay. And we actually signed a girl from there who's going to be very, very good for us. And, you know, it's being able to get out, and it's tough. Being a little bit of a mid-major is tough. You know, the LSU coaches will get on, and they'll spend the whole summer in Europe. We've got to kind of pick and choose when we can do it. But you get a little bit. We've had kids over the years, and they help you out. And, coach, I know this person, and, you know, you just treat them right and get a good reputation, and they keep coming.
First time in 3 years I've been here, and there's no Mondo Duplantis. I'm glad there's one familiar face. All 3 years. We've sat down and done this, man. It's been fun.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Coach, we appreciate you.
Thank you.
That's Lon Bat. I was about to call you Bat On. You got me confused.
Oh, see?
Tommy Bat On, Lon Bado.
Exactly.
We know these things. And then he walks into the room. He said, don't you get me confused now. He knows everybody, so
he does.
We can't forget him. And we'll be right back out to the 12th Annual Beaver Club Relay. It's time for your sink or swim question of the day. You know this is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
This show won't protect your quarterback or cover downfield.
But it's got animal control down pat.
Oh, if you see a possum, try to kill it, okay? It's not a pet.
Back to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Hanging out at the 12th Annual Beaver Club Relays, I'm Ben Love, and this is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. We've got four more events that have gone final. I'll share the latest with you. You want to get a word in? We got some time. You want to talk some track and field? Yeah, we can do that. Latest on LSU basketball, your takes. Plus, we'll let you go in on our sink or swim question of the day whenever you want to play. The number is 706-0111. Now to the latest results. Boys triple jump. Pierre Dupree, a number of state basketball championships with LCA, and with a jump of 43.5. He is the champ today. Keontae Williams, Acadiana High, finished second. Rashad Onazine, fine defensive back for Karen Crow High, finished in third. So a very, very competitive boys triple jump. And Pierre Dupree of the LCA Knights, your winner today. Boys high jump, Bryce Girard, the Turling's Catholic Rebels, claimed that one. Errol Smith, David Thibodeau in second. Connor Lambert, St. Thomas More in third. Moving along to the girls' triple jump, Tyler Alcorn, and she's been busy. We've called her name already today from Turling's Catholic. She won the girls' triple jump. Madison Rito, LCA, finished second. And Zernaja Poulard from Acadiana High, young lady that finished in third. Again, that was the girls' triple jump. Finally, the girls' javelin throw. You got two STM Cougars at the top. Amelie Greenwood finished in first, Devin Hogan in second, and Ava Bro of Ascension Episcopal in third. And so your updated team rankings as we come down the stretch of the 4 o'clock hour, we'll go ladies first. And it's very tight toward the top. In fact, all three at the top are pretty snug, close together. The Lady Mighty Lions, Lafayette High, currently first in the ladies team rankings at 48. LCA is second at 45, and STM third at 42. So they're all grouped within 6 points in the team rankings. As far as the boys are concerned, STM with 50 points in first, Turley's Catholic with 43 is in second, and Ascension Episcopal, pretty far behind the pack with 26 points, is in third. So certainly the boys' high jump championship from Bryce Girard helping the Rebels catapult back up into the team rankings. We'll have plenty of updates as the show goes on. Clint and I taking you all the way to 6:30, and that's when you'll get the pregame show, LSU baseball taking on Texas A&M. Before any of that, how about a little music, and then we'll get to the question.
Exciting and new.
Your sink or swim question of the day. Give us your national championship game matchup. Another way to ask it, who are your two winners tomorrow, the national semifinals in Minneapolis? We got time for you between now and the end of the hour. 706-0111. Clint, lead us off.
Man, I got to wind up going with... I got to go with the Michigan State winning on their side of the bracket. And then I got to go with Virginia here. I think Virginia could wind up being a team to do something that's never really been done. That's kind of get bounced out in the first round by a 16 seed and then could possibly wind up winning it all. That being said, I think Michigan State's getting a run for their money. But just in terms of what's going to go down tomorrow, give me Virginia, give me Michigan State winning.
I've got Auburn, and I feel pretty good about that. On the same jersey colors side of the bracket in many. I like Auburn to win that game. I know they're without their quote-unquote best player, but right now they have caught fire when they needed to. And so I'll take Auburn to win that side. It literally for me is a coin toss on the other. I'd like to tell you that Texas Tech with Chris Beard, recently voted the National Coach of the Year, is definitely going to win. I had him in the Final Four, had him rolling. I'm not willing to tell you that they are going to do that. So, Clint, I'm going to go Michigan State. I'll take some of the experience there. So, give me Michigan State and Auburn in the national championship game. And, boy, would that be a change of pace. Which one of those two is harder for you to come up with?
I think the one that's harder is probably going to wind up being the Virginia-Auburn game because that one feels like it's a lot tougher to determine to me. Michigan State, I can definitely lean on the experience of them. Texas Tech, I'm not entirely sold on their kind of brand of basketball compared to what we saw with Michigan State in the Sweet 16, especially last week against LSU. I say the Virginia-Auburn game was a lot tougher to determine.
Yeah. And look, I think the thing is, I just don't want to believe in Virginia. There's nothing that I've seen in the history of Tony Bennett, really, that leads me to believe that they'll get it done when it matters. But the Purdue game might have been a bit of a turning point for them, right? I think there's a possibility that suddenly it's a team that when things get tight, they'll be okay. But with Carson Edwards going 40-plus, the way Purdue was rolling, that felt like one that was going to be in the bag, especially when it came down to a have-to-miss free throw. But like any good team trying to make a championship run, you got to survive in advance. For a while, we thought that was going to be Duke, right? Coming down to the wire against a couple of teams during their run toward the Elite Eight, but Michigan State took them out. So we both like Michigan State, although for me it's a coin flip game. You like Virginia. I like Auburn. And, amigo, I got to tell you, I appreciate you floating us through part of that segment there because I had a little surprise rendition of the national anthem. And so here you are talking your head off in the UL track and field press box, and everybody else is saluting Old Glory. So thanks for carrying a little bit of the mail there. I'll assume he's taking a phone call. Lack of an answer from Clint there. So we'll get your takes whenever you got time. 706-0111. Who do you have winning tomorrow, and who do you have advancing into Monday's national championship game? Out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Ken, who are your picks?
Well, you know, as you know, I had picked Michigan State against North Carolina. So is Michigan State going to play Virginia? I think Tony Bennett plays for the title, but I think he loses against Michigan State. Michigan State has the size over Texas Tech. And that defense, man, but Tommy doesn't know how to put people in position, and he knows how to play players. So I'm taking Michigan State over Virginia.
Not bad at all. And I think Michigan
all right,
State,
thank you.
Ken, I appreciate you. I think the most likely winner out of this quartet is Tom Izzo, Michigan State. Now, what's ironic is they haven't done it since Mateen Cleaves. And I have seen, you know, I probably should have picked this today at some point to throw some shade at. I have seen a number of threads online where only the smartest people apparently are. A number of threads wondering if somehow Izzo needs this to validate his career. You got to be kidding me, right? You know how hard it is to win one national championship? And the guy's been to, I think we counted when they were playing LSU, 14 Sweet 16s. I believe last weekend was 8 or 9, maybe even Elite Eights. It's just an astounding career that he's had so far. So the lack of an ability to punch it home more than once, no, I don't think there's any question that Izzo's already going to be in the Hall, and he doesn't need this as the cherry on top to validate anything. Now, it would be sweet for the Spartans for that program, but I think Izzo, certainly a legend at this point, and he need not apply any further for his credentials. All right, we can take one more, but we better hurry to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Byron, who you got tomorrow?
Well, I've been meaning to call all week. I called 3 weeks ago before the tournament started and guaranteed you that Michigan State would beat Duke.
You did.
So I'm going to go ahead and ride that one and say that Michigan State is going to beat Auburn in the final simply because I have zero faith in Virginia until they actually win something. So there you go. Thank
That's
you, sir.
Exactly. Clay, you got it, Byron, and that is exactly how I feel. Michigan State, slight favorite over Texas Tech. I'll take them with the experience. Zero faith in Virginia whatsoever. And I'm running down toward the end of this hour, so we'll do this one old school. It is time for the final word of the day, and it's brought to you by the Village Station. They're your final stop to fill up your stomach and tank as you head home on Maurice Avenue. Double. You got a couple of doubleheaders tomorrow. Arkansas State coming to UL. A&M coming to LSU. So enjoy your baseball on a Saturday. We'll be right back in James Moran when we return. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from the 12th Annual Beaver Club Relays on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah!
And now let's get started.
We are off and running. Hour 2 of 3 underway. I'm Ben Love, and this is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We're live. It's our third time, and it's their 12th annual edition of the Beaver Club Relays from the UL Track and Field Complex on 103.7 The Game. After a one-week hiatus, the famous Clint D said, yep, we get the thumbs up to bring back our good friend James Moran. He's the editor of Tiger Rag Magazine. It's time for the on-deck circle. Let's head out to Alec Box Stadium. James, how are you today?
Doing well, Ben. Doing well. How about you?
Look, I'm good. You and I didn't talk for a week. LSU went to the number two team in the country and won 2 out of 3, and now they've won 4 in a row. Are we sure this is a good idea?
I don't know. Maybe it's us. I'm of the opinion, though, that it seems like, at least in Paul Menary's tenure, that something about Mississippi State always seems to bring out the best of this team.
Well, what about Texas A&M? That's a little different story, and it's become a newer rival as maybe opposed to LSU A&M football. What's your general make so far in LSU A&M baseball?
Well, they tend to play a lot of close games, a lot of games that seem to end up in extra innings. I mean, whether it's in Baton Rouge or in College Station, the one thing you could say about all these games since A&M joined the conference is they tend to be close. And I don't think that's going to be any different this weekend. This A&M team that's currently leading the West is built largely around its pitching. I mean, look, they got good hitters too. They probably got one of the best players in the league, if not the country, in Braden Shoemake, their shortstop. But this team is built around pitching and especially starting pitching. And interestingly, for the matchup with LSU, especially left-handed pitching. It's in John Douaxis, who's going to pitch tonight, and Asa Lacy, who's going to pitch tomorrow. That's really the big storyline I'm watching, is how LSU deals with all the lefties they're going to see these next 2 weekends.
Do you think Alan Dunn at all tailors the way he approaches his overall pitching staff this weekend, given the fact that he got 5 strong Tuesday night out of Moffitt, 3 strong Wednesday out of Hilliard? Does that give him more luxuries?
It certainly means they're in better shape. And, I mean, look, this pitching staff as a whole, despite missing some key guys, I mean, look, Landon Marceau's still out, Jaden Hill's still out, Chase Costello's still out. Those are 3 guys that 2 of them were in the opening weekend rotation. The third was supposed to be maybe their setup man. They've all been out. But this pitching staff has really gotten better and better every week. And I think what Alan Dunn deserves credit in, look, Zach Hess is Zach Hess. I mean, some weeks he's going to look like the best pitcher in the country. Some weeks he's going to struggle and give up home runs. Most of the time he's going to give you a chance to win on Friday night. That's what you want. Cole Henry's been kind of a revelation. I mean, really, if you want to trace when the pitching started turning around, it's when he went into the weekend rotation against Cal. They've really thrown the ball a lot better ever since then. And to me, what AD gets credit a lot for is the fact that Eric Walker's starting to look like Eric Walker and Hilliard's starting to look like Hilliard. I mean, those guys both coming back from arm injuries. Obviously, Walker's more serious as it was Tommy John surgery. Both of them have kind of picked up velocity, picked up movement. I mean, Walker, I thought, was awesome at Mississippi State. I mean, his fastball velocity was back up near 90. I don't know if it crossed 90 that much, but it doesn't really need to when you have control like him. But that allowed his changeup to be more of a weapon. It allowed his breaking ball to have more bite on it. And Hilliard the other night, he looked awesome. I mean, that was a pretty good South Alabama team, and he mowed them down for 3 innings. I mean, that fastball, he doesn't throw a cutter, but it really moves like one. I mean, when he's on and he's feeling good and letting it rip, that ball moves like a slider, but at 89 miles an hour. So those 2 guys have really stepped it up. Moffitt as well, I think he's kind of been the unsung hero in this group in kind of protecting the bullpen in some of these midweek games, and not just eating innings, but eating innings while putting up zeros. And he's also one of the leaders of this team. So I think the pitching staff as a whole has come a long way from, well, I guess what rock bottom was that Texas weekend where it looked like LSU didn't have any starters they could trust. All of a sudden now the rotation's been set for a few weeks now with these same 3 guys, and you're seeing guys like Moffitt and Hilliard and Beck all throwing well around them. And obviously Devin Fano, I think we've kind of been cleared up now, has really ascended to that closer role, while Todd Peterson's been kind of the one guy who's been a little hit or miss.
Talking shop on LSU baseball with our man, James Moran. He's the editor of Tiger Rag Magazine, and he's joining us live from Alec Box Stadium in Baton Rouge. Take me through the evolution of first base this season, could you? Because I know it started with Drew Bianco, at least the first game or two of that military appreciation weekend. A lot of Cade Beloso after that. But now with the emergence of C.J. Willis, what does that do for the options that Mannering Company have at first base?
Well, now it's kind of interesting because right now it's really between Willis and Beloso. I mean, Beloso staked his claim early. He hit the walk-off home run against Army in a game LSU probably should have lost. He hit another game-winning home run. I think it was against Cal. He hasn't been quite as effective in SEC play, but he's done enough where he's still very much a factor there. And Willis has kind of been the guy that's thrown himself into the mix. I mean, what he did at Mississippi State last weekend was pretty special. I mean, he came off the bench Friday night and then got his first 2 starts, and all he did was drive in 5 runs and give a real spark to what was a pretty sluggish offense up to that point. I don't know what they're going to do in terms of who plays where this weekend, but with Daniel Cabrera out and Giovanni DiGiacomo playing left, both those guys are going to be in the lineup. It's just a matter of who plays first base, who is the designated hitter. Beloso is probably the steadier first baseman, but I think what they like about Willis is that he's a lot taller, and that kind of gives a bigger target to those other infielders, though. My gut says it's going to be Beloso tonight just because I think they wanted to work with Willis and some things in practice yesterday, but obviously because of the rain, they were not able to practice. So that's going to be really a touch and go, but as long as Cabrera is out, I think both those guys are going to stay in the lineup. And the one thing that's, I guess, a little interesting or troubling, depending on how you want to look at it going into this weekend, is with those three freshmen in there, and obviously Duplantis, Reed, Smith not going anywhere, LSU is going to have six left-handed hitters in the lineup against two of the better lefties in the SEC the next two nights. And tonight and tomorrow afternoon, now that tomorrow is going to be a doubleheader. I'm curious to see how they do. I mean, I don't think you really worry much about guys like Smith and Duplantis who have hit against lefties better in their careers at points. Duplantis actually has a higher career average against lefties than righties. And I don't think you worry about Reed. He's going to do his thing. But to me, this weekend could come down to, one, can they get any semblance of right-handed production out of somebody that's not Zach Watson? Could one of the catchers do something? Could the second baseman, whether it's Hal Hughes or Brent Broussard, maybe give them a lift? I'm not sure. But this weekend, to me, could really come down to how those three freshmen, all left-handed swingers, handle some really tough left-on-left at-bats. Because if they all struggle, suddenly the LSU lineup is a four- or five-man lineup, and it's going to be tough to score runs that way against a really good A&M staff.
James, most of your look so far at the Aggies, understandably, has been at their pitching staff at the plate and then on the base path. How do they compare to Mississippi State?
I don't think they have quite as much power as Mississippi State, but I think maybe they do have a little bit more speed. And I'm going to go back to Shoemake, who I mentioned, I think, a little bit in the opening. He's got power. He's got speed. He's really that kind of five-tool shortstop that you'd really just love to build any team around in an ideal world. I mean, and unless you got a pretty – and Paul Maneri got a pretty good look at him. Both him and Doaxis, who's pitching tonight, played for that Team USA team over the summer that Paul coached. So I think how LSU pitches to him is pretty fascinating, but I don't think this is as dangerous a, you know, you make a mistake, it's going to go a long ways kind of lineup as the Mississippi State lineup was, but it's a lineup that can hurt you in some different ways with their contact, with their speed, and then with the one superstar in Shoemake, who, again, for my money, might be the best player in the league.
Another moment or two with James Moran. This is the On Deck Circle, getting you ready for LSU Mississippi State baseball. James, right now I'm at the UL Track and Field Complex. I can look over the right field wall. The Cages are going to take on Arkansas State, and right now the weather here is overcast, but it looks like things are going to be okay. How about on that side of the basin?
Right now, things look okay here for tonight. I know it was supposed to rain up until first pitch, but at least for now, when I've looked at my weather app, I'm actively knocking on wood. Things have looked pretty good. Tomorrow is the best day of the three. It's supposed to be pretty nice, maybe low 80s, but tomorrow's going to be a long day, especially for yours truly. I am going to go from the LSU spring football game to the completion of the first doubleheader game, and then obviously stay for the nightcap, which will be the series finale. So it's going to be a long – I'm going to watch three baseball games and a football game in about a 27-hour window, provided, again, I'm knocking on wood again, it's not weather interrupted, but I think the forecast for Sunday is pretty nasty. So I think LSU probably made the right call here, even if it is going to mean a pretty chaotic Saturday on campus.
You and I have talked about this off air before, James, but you do it a little oppo from how I did it when I was at Tiger Rag. In other words, we both did football because you have to. I do basketball, you do baseball. So I say that to ask you this. Do you just kind of giggle every time a new development in LSU basketball comes up, knowing that Tyler Nunez has to just clean it all up?
I do a little bit. And hey, it seems like their entire team has declared for the draft in the last two or three days, which, as somebody who watched them sporadically all season, was at least a little bit surprising to me, at least in terms of Skylar Mays, maybe not so much Naz Reid or Tremont Waters. But, yeah, that's not my department. I get, you know, sometimes I get calls, people wanting me to go on the radio and talk basketball, and I have to politely point them in Tyler's direction and tell them that football or baseball, I'm your guy, but basketball, I'm going to have to pass you off to our guy who specializes in the hoops.
He's our diamond dude, James Moran. You know we appreciate it. Stay dry this weekend. We'll be following the coverage.
No problem, Ben, and have a good weekend, buddy. I'll talk to you next week.
All right, you too. And look, that's not a joke. I remember vividly every time something would come up in baseball, right? Or, hey, there's a weather change, it's a rain out, lightning strike, 30-minute delay. It's not that you giggle because, you know, the guy you work with is going to have to work a little extra, or his life, his schedule gets thrown off kilter. But, okay, it is like that because that's exactly what you do. It's just the way sports writing, journalism, and broadcast works. We got to take our first break in the hour. When we return, for those that are just getting in the vehicle, especially for the 5 o'clock hour, I'll give you all the updates you need from the 12th annual Beaver Club Relays. So far, the weather holding out, and acquitting itself nicely here at the UL Track and Field Complex. Our special edition of B2BS is brought to you by Darnell Sykes, Guards and Frederick, as well as Darnell Sykes Wealth Partners. We're coming right back out to UL. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
We're going back to our regular show.
All right, this is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now
at 103.7 The Game.
Updates, we got them. Phone calls, yeah, we'll take those too. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, back out at the UL Track and Field Complex on 103.7 The Game. Momentarily, I'll get you to the latest on the 12th annual Beaver Club Relays, but a couple of updates for you on the baseball front. Arkansas State invading Teague Moore Field at Russo Park tonight, and 7:30 is your first pitch. It's been moved back a little bit. They're trying to make sure they don't run into any weather, presumably in the next hour or so. And it's a little dark out here, but I think they're going to be okay. Knock on wood. But 7:30, the first pitch tonight. Red Wolves at the Cajuns. There will be a doubleheader tomorrow. 4 p.m. was always the scheduled first pitch for Game 2. It still is. 45 minutes after the completion of that game, they'll have the finale tomorrow night. All right, let's get to LSU, Texas A&M. They're going to stay pat tonight. 7 p.m. the first pitch. Clint and I bring you to the pregame show at 6:30, but they're also going to double down tomorrow. They've already set their times for both games, 2 p.m. and 7 p.m. I'll get you to what we have now. Let's see, three different events we've now got results for since the last time I was able to refresh these. So I'll get you the updates. This segment, the next one, would be great times for you to call as well. You want to answer our sink or swim question of the day? Feel free. Here's what we asked. Who wins tomorrow in Minneapolis? In other words, who do you like for your national championship game? You could also sound off on Skylar Mays declaring for the NBA draft, but unlike Trey Waters, Naz Reid not yet announcing that he has hired an agent. The number to play, 706-0111. Let's go in order. The three events we have to share with you. Boys Shot Put is now final. And Stephen Lachelet, Turling's Catholic, is the victor. Martin Lee, a fine linebacker for LCA, finished second. Burke Matthews, St. Thomas More, your third-place finisher. Again, that was Boys Shot Put. That is the last boys event we had that has gone final. And so your team rankings on the boys' side, STM 56, Turling's Catholic 53, and a distant third at this point, LCA 30. So how about that, the Cougars and the Rebels? It's a nice little showdown. 56-53, the points, as those two teams at the top. All right, let's get to the two girls' events that have gone final since last we spoke. The girls' discus throw, Megan Cologne, Ascension Episcopal, the winner, Bree Porter, LCA, finished second, Adeline Miller, Turling's Catholic, a young lady in third. And I've also got the results now from the girls' 4x200-meter relay. Lafayette High, the Lady Mighty Lions, finish in first. Turling's Catholic in second. St. Thomas More in third. And so I can update those girls' team rankings now as well. Lafayette High on top, 62 total points. LCA not too far behind at 54. And in third, STM with 49. And would you know it, just when you think you're done, they pull you right back in. And this is probably one of the most expected results, I would think, of the meet. The boys 4x200 just went down, and the Carrico Golden Bears are defending state champs overall in class 4A, as we mentioned. So not a surprise to see Artro Marks, Trajan Jones, Jonathan Green, and Kendall Williams win the boys 4x200. The time, 1 minute, 25.7 seconds. Not too far behind. In second, Acadiana, Julian Arsenault, Dalen Williams, Larrell Green, and Dylan Monette. So it's basically the entire backfield for Acadiana High football. They finished second at the time there, 1 minute 29 seconds and a little bit of change. So about 3.5 seconds behind the mark, and wow, a fraction of a second behind them. LCA finished in third. Joseph Lamel, Caleb Watts, Kamen Scott, and Zach Clement, the foursome there for LCA. And that reminds me, we got a couple of guests that are coming aboard still. 5:45, Meredith Hebert, STM, and 6 o'clock, Zach Clement, who we just mentioned was part of that LCA group, will be on the show. So we got a lot to get to still today. A lot of great guests. Yes, we're going to throw some shade. And with that last boys event, updating the team rankings, STM and Terling's now tied for first. How about that? 57 apiece. There was a fourth place finish from Terling's Catholic that helped them make up the distance there in the boys 4x200. So STM, Terling's tied at 57. A distant third still is LCA with 36. One thing I can tell you, I looked around earlier, tried to ask people in the press box, do we have any meet records that have been set? The answer is yes, comma, but, right? Yes, but it's the first time that they've ever had these competitions. There has never been a girls or a boys 4x800 meter relay. So when the quartet of Sindel Caesar, Izzy Carter, Ashley Williams, and Meredith Hebert won it for the STM girls, yeah, that would be a meet record, as was the boys 4x800. Lafayette High, it was a group of Michael Williams, Christian LeBlanc, Riley Plunkett, and Caleb Horner. Now, I have just been handed a sheet of paper. My good friend Mike Boyer, principal at Turnley's Catholic, helping to narrate the events here over the PA. We do have one meet record. Out of everything I've shared with you so far, it has just been unearthed that C.J. Hill from St. Thomas More has a meet record for the Beaver Club relays for what he pulled off in the boys' long jump. And so his measurement of 24 feet, 2.5 inches. Good night. C.J. Hill of the St. Thomas More Cougars has set a meet record for the boys' long jump. So our hat is off to him. And each and every year we come to this event, our hat is off to Larry Longclaw and the folks at the Beaver Club. They put on a great show. Heck, I was there Wednesday at the Petroleum Club. They had one heck of a luncheon as well. Louis Cook spoke there. And it continues to be a first-class event. And right now I'm looking down at the podium and I see some familiar young men. LCA, Karen Crow, Acadiana. So the triple jump is coming gone. As soon as I get those results handed to me, I'll share it with you. But a lot of fun here. And the one thing that I always enjoy echoes one of the things that Louis Cook said on Wednesday. So I'll give him the credit. He loves when his kids participate in track and field. He said, in fact, when he got the rain, Crowley, Notre Dame of Acadia Parish, it really felt similar. The boys' teams won track state championships within the first 2 years of him getting to all three of those stops. Not long after, well, you can probably guess what happened. Louis Cook and the football team won it the next fall. So for him, this is a big indicator, right, of what you got and what's coming. Not just the people that are running, but your shot put, your javelin, your discus. So pretty cool here because I've seen a lot of these young men on the gridiron, on the hardwood, some of these young ladies as well, softball. It's a little more difficult timing-wise because it coincides with the outdoor season. But certainly, when you talk about Bree Porter, just for example of LCA, you've got some high-level basketball players for the girls that are out here as well. So always a good time, always a whole lot of competition. And they're not done yet, not by a long shot. Yeah, we're out of here at 6:30 today, but they've got events that are scheduled through just about the end of the 8 o'clock hour. And they'll have award ceremonies for these teams at straight up 9 o'clock. So we'll do our best to chronicle it while we can. We'll be right back in. Time to throw a little bit of shade. And then Meredith Hebert, STM Cougars track and field team. She'll be running for these Raging Cajuns distance style next year. Don't go anywhere. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
You say tomato, I say tomato.
The famous Clint D says something none of us will agree with.
Back to more top shelf analysis for your drive home. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Ready to roll. Right back in with more Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Our pleasure to be out here. Our third straight year, and it's their 12th installment of the Beaver Club Relays. One heck of a host site, too. The UL Track and Field Complex. Still, we've got the same group standings as when we left. STM Turlings tied for the lead. On the boys' side, 57 points apiece. LCA at 36. And for the girls, Lafayette High, 62 points. LCA 54. And STM, a third place right now, third place finisher right now if it ended at 49. We'll come back to that as we get a chance, but a quick update that I didn't give on LSU baseball, and I should have, we'll correct that, and then you know it's time to throw a little bit of shade. Daniel Cabrera this weekend, so a bit of a bummer there. Paul Maneri, late yesterday afternoon, finally fessed up and said Cabrera, who was held out of the midweek games, they thought it was possible he'd be back for A&M this weekend, not going to happen. He's having problems with the thumb on his right hand. So Daniel Cabrera out this weekend. We did not discuss that with James Moran, but I think it stands to reason that you'll see C.J. Willis and Cade Beloso this weekend. Or they might have some flexibility in where they decide to put Giovanni DiGiacomo. So there's maybe a little bit less wiggle room, right? And certainly a lot less power with Daniel Cabrera out of the lineup. And that's part of, I guess, what James was leading to, right? When he mentioned that LSU's going to send a lot of lefties up against that talented A&M staff tonight. So no Daniel Cabrera this weekend for LSU baseball. Now it's time for your daily reminder. Really, it's PSA locally, that no one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. Go to the website, patiocenter.com. Check out the retractable shades and screens, the standing seam metal awnings, and the customized patio covers with the Cypress accents. And know that you can trust their professional installers inside your home. And how important and how rare is that in 2019? Alex will be the one to work on your shades and awnings, while Todd mans the installation of your patio covers in those gorgeous customizable screen rooms. Collectively, the team at Patio Center, they're ready to up your patio game, and they can do it before LSU, UL, and the Saints come marching in this football season. All it takes to start, a trip to patiocenter.com. The kings of customization, it's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
We've got a two for today, Clint. I know you want to take the baton and run with it. I'm at a track meet that felt a pun that just needed to happen at some point today. So why don't you wax poetic on those J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets.
They absolutely suck, Ben. These are absolutely probably some of the worst jerseys I've ever seen. Like, they feel like XFL jerseys, not NFL jerseys. You got, like, the Gotham green, which it's a different green than what we've seen in the past with New York, but it just looks like trash. But the worst offender of them all, Ben, is the all-black jersey with just a straight-up Christmas tree green helmet. What seriously is going on there? And also, I'd like to say, I think the Pelicans should have a cease and desist for their official hashtag. Hashtag take flight. That's already taken, guys.
Okay, so I'm a little behind the times. Who is that taken by?
No, the Pelicans have that. They, like, take flight is their hashtag, basically, that they've been using for quite a while.
So who's pilfering it from them? The Jets are using that now?
The Jets are using it, yes.
Now I'm up to speed. Okay, so a bad football franchise is taking something from a bad basketball franchise. And somewhere, everybody in between is losing. Jamal Adams, I'm sorry they got to strap you into those jerseys, but just keep doing what it is that you do. I'll never forget Jets v. Bills with the Color Rush game when it literally looked like a bunch of Skittles running around on a football field. So hopefully these green unis aren't as bad as those were. But I mentioned this is a twofer, Clint. Les Miles is up to some very strange things in Lawrence, Kansas, to the surprise of absolutely nobody. But he's getting involved with calling Rick Ross. And this is not a joke. He also is playing Flip Cup. That also is not a joke. Your boy Les Miles right now is reinventing himself as a rap-loving vegan in the heart of Big 12 country. And if you'd have told me of 3 or 4 years ago that, I don't know how I would have reacted, but I certainly would have started with at least some form of laughter. I don't know if, like Snoop Dogg, he's going to just remain cool for his entire life, but whatever he's doing right now, it seems to be working. I don't think it's going to result in any more wins. tough place to play, but wow. Les Miles, he's doing some very interesting things right now in Lawrence, Kansas.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
One more result is going final. I'll get this to you. Then we'll hit our final break of hour number two. The girls' 1,600-meter run has come and gone. Mia Parker, St. Thomas More, has taken it home. 5 minutes, 26.7 seconds. Lexi Guidry, Turlings Catholic in second, 5:28.15. Izzy Carter, STM in third, 5:43.17. And so, with the first and third finishes for the girls, STM has vaulted into second, and they are just a hair behind the leaders. And really, if you look at the boys and girls team rankings, this is as close as you could probably get. I mean, seriously, for the girls, it's Lafayette High with 66 team points, STM with 65, LCA in third with 56. So 1 point disparity between first and second for the girls at last glance. I know we have some results that haven't found their way up to the press box yet as far as finals. But at last glance, the boys, they've got STM Turlings tied for first, 57 points apiece, LCA just in third at 36. So competition, you got as much as you can stand here at the 12th annual Beaver Club Relays. We'll be right back out. Expected to have an interview with Meredith Hebert, St. Thomas More, Catholic High School, coming to run for these Raging Cajuns next year. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. And don't go anywhere, because we're coming right back out to the UL Track and Field Complex on 103.7 The Game.
Let's go! Let's go, baby!
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Get in on the conversation.
Call on the game hotline.
706-0111.
706-0111.
Back in one final time during the 5 o'clock hour. You're dialed into Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love hanging out at the 12th annual Beaver Club Relays heated competition. The boys, the girls, it is as tight as it can get. And right now we got one heck of a competitor sitting next to me. To my right, it's Meredith Hebert, St. Thomas More Lady Cougars Track and Field. And how cool is this to say? Next year, you'll be with UL Track and Field. I'm sure you're looking forward to it.
Yes, sir. I'm super excited.
So you got to tell me how you keep your cool, how you keep your focus, considering, look, the time they gave me on your first result today, that was the girls 4x800, they gave it to me at 3:17 p.m. You were probably done 15 minutes before that.
Yes, sir.
And next you're going to do the 2 mile probably like 8 o'clock tonight?
Yes, sir.
What in the world do you do for 5 hours?
Stay off my feet, honestly. I roll out my legs to make sure my muscles aren't super tight. I stretch. And my favorite thing is I like to cheer on my teammates. I love doing that. But coach gets mad because I'm not off my feet.
Well, as you probably know, this is the first year the 4x800 has been run. So congrats.
Thank you.
You all set a meet record.
Yes,
it's never
sir.
Been done before. How do you like that event compared to the other one you'll have tonight, which is the 2 mile?
The 4x8 is my favorite. I love the team aspect of it. I don't like all the pressure being on just me as it is in the 2 mile. And the 800 hurts a little more, but it's shorter. The 2 mile is fun. It's just you have to be able to keep your focus a lot longer than in the 800.
Well, no doubt your coach, Walter Whitfield, look, he's going to put you young ladies where he needs you. But is there any one leg of that that's more fun for you, you think you excel at as compared to the others?
In the 4x8?
Right.
The first leg is what I normally run, and I like it because it is probably the most stressful leg.
Okay.
Because if you mess up, everybody sees it, and your team is depending on you to put them in a good standing. But I like having the competition because I thrive under competition. That's when I will do my best. And so being first leg and running with the girls and being able to, like, hang back, let them go out, and then on the last 300 meters, kick it in, it's fun.
Meredith Hebert with the STM Cougars, good enough to join us in between her events. And I mentioned, again, it's going to be later tonight. It'll probably be dark when it happens, but you're going to run the 2 mile. Your PR is 12 minutes and 22 seconds. Give our listeners a little bit of insight into what you're trying to do to up the ante and improve that tonight.
My plan is to go out a little quicker on the first mile. I'm going to try to hit it at a 6:05. And then after that, I'm going to try to race the next two laps at a mile and a half. And then hopefully the last two laps, my adrenaline will kick in and I'll hit it at a 12:10.
How real of a thing is that? For people like me that, look, I always do this on a treadmill. When you actually have kind of live bullets flying, so to speak, and people are running next to you, how much does it change and how much of a real surge and kick do you get when you come down a home stretch?
You get a lot because, you have people yelling at you like, she's coming, and I am a very competitive person. And so when my coach or my dad is telling me that someone's coming behind me, the last thing I want is for them to catch me. And so you just, like, take a deep breath and start pumping your arms.
And we talked a little bit about your high school coach, Walter Whitfield. You're going to go play next year and compete for Coach Baddow here at UL. But you had a really cool story in the break. I'd love for you to bring it to the program. Assistant coach Aaron Beatty and how he became involved in your recruitment, even if you weren't aware at first that it was happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wasn't aware that I was getting recruited. My coach, Walter Whitfield, actually had approached me after practice one day and let me know that I was being looked at. I didn't think it was anything serious because I just have never thought about running in college. And then a week later, he was like, hey, Meredith, Coach Aaron's going to come to school tomorrow. He's going to pull you out of class and he's going to recruit you. He's going to try to see if you would be interested in running in the program, staying in Lafayette. And I didn't believe him at first. I was like, no, I'm not that good. I don't think a coach would want me yet. And then, sure enough, they called me out of class. And so I talked with Coach Aaron for probably about 45 minutes just about the program.
So when was that? Remind me, like, what month? You happen to remember?
I would say October.
Okay.
I think it was October.
And so here we are some 7.5 months later. It's crazy to think that before then you hadn't considered, hey, this is something that could become a reality. Mm-hmm. But as you told me in the break, turns out you had some options. You know, McNeese State down the road in Lake Charles and UL. So ultimately, why was this the best fit for you?
I think UL saw more potential in me. And I had met the girls from both teams, and I felt like I fit in more at UL, and my dad has been one of the biggest supporters in my running, and I think having him in my back corner while, like, still being in college had a lot to do with it, because, I mean, he is my biggest cheerleader, and so I think being able to have him and my family still, like, here with me was a big part of it.
Yeah, we had a chance to speak with Coach Baddow earlier, mentioned your name, and excited for the ability to get another distance runner here. So I guess what's your anticipation of what that next level is going to be like?
I'm nervous. The intensity is going to obviously be upped. And I came and I sat in on a practice. I watched what they do. And it was good that Coach Aaron allowed me to do that because it did help ease a little bit, because what they do is it's more intense, but I'm confident that I'm going to be capable of hanging with them and then making the coaches proud.
A lot of great schools obviously represented here in Lafayette Parish. All 10 are competing at the Beaver Club Relays. What do you think it is about St. Thomas More that's prepared you for everything that comes ahead, right? The sporting, the competition part, but everything else that makes up a well-rounded person as well.
They're really focused on the individual, and it's not just about, like, compete and win. It's about make sure you're a good teammate. Make sure you're only speaking positive thoughts, like, before your race, like, when you're on the start line, close your eyes, say a positive thought, and get out. And so they really focus more on, like, you as a person than, like, oh, you're not fast enough, you can't go. And it's like that at school, too. Like, if your grades aren't good enough, they're going to focus on you. They're going to help you, like, thrive to the next level. And so I don't think I could have gone to a better high school to prepare me for what I'm about to go through.
Coming down the stretch here with our guest, Meredith Hebert, on 103.7 The Game. My wife in high school ran track and field. And when I told her, no, that was never part of my thing in high school, right? I did football, basketball, baseball. And she said, well, never forget that your punishment is my sport. Have you ever heard that one before?
We say that all the time when people are complaining about their sport. We're always like, well, your punishment is what I do all the time.
That's got to make y'all just some kind of mentally tough, I would think.
Yeah, running is, people think it's like if you're in shape. It's it's so mental. I played volleyball for about 8 years, and that was just like, if you had the skill, running is if you have a strong head. You have to be able to swallow the pain and just hang on. It's extremely mental.
So we'll finish up here, Meredith. You and I look out over a pretty pristine facility, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you get a chance to go to state. You compete at Bernie Moore at LSU. Again, pristine facility. What are some of the craziest places that you competed in track and field events, whether it just be far away from Lafayette distance-wise or just a different-looking venue? This, obviously, like we said, is phenomenal. But
mm-hmm.
what's been some of the off-the-beaten-path places you just can't forget?
New Orleans, the Sugar Bowl meet. We ran last week, actually. That is just – it's a stadium, like, around the whole track, and it's just this huge track with this big stadium around it, and it's just it's intimidating when you walk in because, I mean, when you see a track, you typically see the football field and then, like, the little high school stadiums, but this one is, like, it's a whole – like, it's only a track, and it's just a stadium around the whole track, and so you walk in, and you're just like, oh, shoot, like, these people are probably going to be good. It's a very – very intimidating atmosphere, but it was awesome.
I'll get you out of here on this one. You competed in distance racing, clearly. What's the one track and field event that you just kind of have a hard time wrapping your mind around saying, there's no way I would ever do that or attempt to do that?
The 100-meter dash.
Okay.
I do not understand how they move their legs that quick in that short of amount of time. Because, I mean, mile, 800, 2 mile, you have a while, not a while, well, 2 mile you do, but you have a... You can pick up your speed. You can get it. It blows my mind that they can make their legs go that fast in that short of a distance.
I still can't believe that this time last year I watched Mondo Duplantis beat everybody else doing that. So a pole vaulter, I want to say it was 10-7. It was somewhere in that type of vicinity. Mm-hmm. But I'm with you. I don't know how they start that quickly without any time to build inertia.
Yeah, I couldn't. I've been a distance runner all the way, and I would get killed in a 100-meter dash.
Well, you told me before we started you had done some of this before. You're better at this than you think. I appreciate you coming aboard. Good luck in the 2 mile later tonight, and come back anytime.
Thank you.
Meredith Hebert, St. Thomas More High School. She'll be with UL Track and Field next season. All right, we're just about out of time. In hour number two, hour number three, we're going to start it off with Zach Clement, Lafayette Christian Academy. And like Meredith, he'll be going on to the next level next year. In fact, he's standing right next to us. He'll sit in next. Zach heading to play next year, a quarterback, a football player for Northwestern State. So stick with us. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we're live from the 12th annual Beaver Club Relays at the UL Track and Field Complex on Acadiana Sports Station. And you know that is 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Interrupt our regular programming for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah!
And now let's get started.
Sprinting out of the blocks, this is Hour 3 of 3, a special edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports on 1037 The Game. Ben Love, thrilled to be here for the 12th annual Beaver Club Relays. Ferocious competition everywhere. The boys, the girls, still razor thin as STM, LCA, Turling's Catholic, Lafayette High, some of the heavy hitters on both sides. We'll give you updates momentarily, but we're joined right now in the press box of the UL Track and Field Complex by one of those competitors from LCA, a guy that's a two-time state champion in football. He'll be playing for the Northwestern State Demons at the quarterback position beginning, in late June? It's Zach Clement joining us, and it's crazy to think. First time I met you, I think you were a freshman in high school. Now you're coming toward the end of your high school career. Is it going by in a flash for you?
Oh, it's definitely flown by. You know, as a freshman, you don't really realize how fast it goes by and how much you really treasure moments going through high school. And so realizing how fast it's going, I'm just trying to treasure every moment that I have with all my teammates and my coaches.
Tell me the difference between preparing for football games and preparing for a track meet.
a lot more running for sure. Football is a lot more strategic, game planning, a lot more of positioning where you're putting people in spots. But track is a lot of working on your endurance, different technique, like your form for anything, like high jump, sprinting. Technique is very key in track, so you really want to work on that for sure.
I know a number of athletes, whether they are football, basketball players, that once they get to the end of their main sport that they're going to the next level for in high school, sometimes they don't stick around and run track. Why is this still important for you?
It's important mostly because I don't want to let my teammates down, you know. I grew up at LCA with them, and to be able to finish them out in any sport, track, and to be able to compete, because I love to compete, and just to be able to come out every day and compete at practice with them and on the track is really, it's going to help me in the future also.
Zach Clement with the LCA Knights, our guest. Along those same lines, how does competing in track and field make you better at football?
It definitely helps your speed. It definitely helps your endurance also whenever you're playing on the football field. Yeah, a lot of the stuff on the football field is fast on the college level, and it's a whole different type of speed. So just trying to get me faster and get everything about like my mind faster, try to work on my mental, not only my physical, but my mental speed also.
Already you and your teammates have placed top three in the 4x200-meter relay. Coming up later tonight, you'll have the 4x400. What's your role there? What leg do you run? And give me a little bit of a preview of it.
I run the anchor leg on in the 4x4, and it's mostly just trying to gut it out, you know, try to get around the – it's a hard race because it's a long run, but you got to sprint it also. So it's just trying to gut it out because I got to do it for my teammates, and it's just not about me. I got to do it for them too.
You know, when I look around, the other kids that I see as far as the boys' side go for LCA, the Dupree brothers, you know, Martin Lee. I have so many guys that I've seen you play basketball, football with. How cool is that, that you guys have this bond that transcends just that one single sport?
Oh, it's really cool. You know, being able to, like, come out and compete in all different sports with them, like, it's just not, like, sometimes you play one sport and then you only see that person one sport. But, like, we have a year-round bond. We all grind together, we work together, and that's what makes, I think, our bond like even stronger and more special.
Your senior year, if I'm not mistaken, the second year where we've had this two signing period process. So you get the opportunity to sign if you want early in December, or you can wait until February. What went into your process to wait until February in the late period?
Well, going into December, they had some schools come in, and I was just going to take a look. Kind of see what they were going to offer, everybody was going to offer anything. But when it came down to it in February, Northwestern, I knew that was the place I knew I wanted to be.
And so you're going to have an opportunity to go there, and while people who would look at you, watch you run, watch you lift, know that you could probably play a lot of different positions, looks like you were born to play quarterback. And so I know the Demons want to give you a chance there. Tell me a little bit about their offense and how you think you'll fit in.
Their offense is very fast-paced. It's the spread offense. I love it. Like the coaches, I love the coaches too. The coaches are really good coaches. They know what they're talking about. And just the offense they run, I really think that knowing the coaches, that they could put me in really good positions in that offense that could help the team succeed.
What are some of the things, and before you just ran into Meredith Hebert from St. Thomas More who joined me. I asked her the same question about STM. What are some of the things about attending LCA, not just the athletics, but the rest of it, that you think have helped prepare you for everything that lies ahead?
Definitely a big part of it would be my faith. They really helped me grow in my faith spiritually, and I know from learning from growing up there that although I have had success in my athletics and different parts of different things, that it all comes down to where it came from, and that's from my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that's a big part of my life through my faith.
Another few moments having fun with Zach Clement, LCA next year. He'll be with the Northwestern State Demons. Okay, tell me about Sage Ryan. Tell me about Fitzgerald West, some of these young guns that are coming up. I've seen them on the gridiron, but they are starting to blow up when it comes to recruiting. And I saw just recently Sage Ryan with an offer from Michigan. Zach, that's big time.
Oh, that's really big time. You know, Sage and Fitz worked their butt off at practice. You know, this is not just something that just came to them. They really went out and they earned what they got. And I'm not like, there's some special players, man. It's really special to be able to play with them. It's an honor to play with them. But their work ethic is unbelievable.
I would never put you on a spot to talk about what is in the news right now about LCA football and basketball with the coaches. But what I will ask you is to tell me about Trev Faulk as you've gotten to know him and maybe the impact that he's made on your life.
Coach Trev has made a tremendous impact on my life. Coming in, I was a sophomore. I was scared, you know. This new coach, never met him before, 6'4", 250 pounds. You know, he's kind of intimidating. But his heart is unbelievable. He loved us, and that's one thing I always stress to people is, like, whenever every day we come to practice, like, he stresses how much he loves us. Like, it's like unbelievable. And just to be able to be around him and be able to hear his wisdom, not just football-wise, but he speaks into our lives spiritually, it's just something that you don't get every day from anybody.
The rumors are that occasionally Trev doesn't mind getting in and completing some tackles himself. Is that a true story?
Oh, if anybody challenges Coach Trev is not scared to come in and let us know who's boss.
Probably doesn't need pads either.
Oh no, never has pads on.
Or a helmet. So you gotta love that. Trev Faulk, one of the toughest guys to ever, I think, come through this area. I'll finish up with this. What are some of the things that you are gonna look back on what you were able to accomplish in high school, your teammates, what the collective was able to accomplish? What do you think you'll look back on and be most proud of?
I think I'll be most proud of helping to build LCA to what it is, you know. Before, like, we got into high school, our football team weren't very noticed. Basketball was getting up there, but our football team wasn't very noticed, and our athletics weren't noticed at the time. And to be able to be a part of something so special with so many different special people that have invested into not just me but my teammates, it's just a really cool experience to be a part of.
Zach, as always, man, this was fun. I got to give the people some updates, what's going on. You got to get ready for the 4x400. Thanks for doing this, man. Good luck.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
He's Zach Clement, LCA, making his way up 49 to Natchitoches. And they're going to be lucky to have him beginning in late June. All right, I promise you those updates. I'll get them to you now. Let you know who is leading the boys and the girls team side. On the boys, how about the 110-meter hurdles? Julian Landry, Acadiana High, the winner there. 1/100th of a second behind. Wilton George of Como finished second, and Barton Bernard, Ascension Episcopal, in third. As far as the girls' 100-meter dash, Janisha George of Karen Crow, the winner. Keandra Narcisse, Sterling's Catholic, in second. Camille Hinserling, STM, in third. And I just watched, as we were talking, big fella, I'll bring Zach back in. I'll let him commentate on this. You can do color analysis too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Here, we're going to try at least. Trajan Jones of Karen Crow blazed a 10.64 to win the boys' 100-meter dash. Artrell Marks of Karen Crow, a 10.89, was in second. Laryl Green, heck of a football player for Acadiana, at 11.03, was third. And I've just got the confirmation from Mike Boyer. Trajan Jones, 10.64, second 100-meter dash. That is a meet record for the Beaver Club relays. Zach, that's getting after it.
Oh, yeah, that's blazing fast. That's, like, ridiculous.
10.69. I don't know how they do that. I watched Mondo Duplantis do this thing last year, and I thought that was crazy. But Trajan Jones, just unbelievable. So, I don't know, man. I can't even picture that. You're going to have a time getting close to that, but I'm, like, 2 seconds after that.
Oh, that's like, untouchable. That's pretty untouchable right there.
Zach, you know we appreciate it. I'm going to hang it up for this segment. When we return, we'll put a bow on the show. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, having fun at the 12th Annual Beaver Club Relays on 103.7 The Game.
Stop yapping and get back to work.
Okay, everyone, let's get back.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 1037thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now
at 1037 The Game.
Trajan Jones. Unbelievable what the senior from Karen Crow is doing so far at the 2019 Beaver Club Relays. I will explain. This is our final segment of Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game, and if we were here any longer, we'd probably see more meet records from Trajan Jones. So let's recap what I started to tell you at the end of last segment. With a 10.64 100-meter dash, that is a meet record. previously, the record was 10.67 seconds. So 3/100ths of a second, Jones bested the mark set by Northside's Shakir Ryan in 2013. And yeah, that's the older brother of Sage Ryan now at LCA. Small world. We just talked about him. And if you want a little more perspective, I just had it confirmed. The 100-meter dash winning time last year was Mondo Duplantis of Lafayette High, 10.69. And so if you want to consider the overall greatness of Mondo, he's within 5/100ths of a second of Trajan Jones, and that kid is just built to do what he just did right in front of us. Incredible. And that is, I'm told, the second meet record that Jones has been a part of today. His 4x200 group that won the race today also set a meet record for the Beaver Club relays. So, as always, impressive what Trajan Jones is doing. I had him on the football field for quite some time, calling games on Z105.9. One of the better running backs in the area, but certainly I would think that it's him, along with Kayshawn Boutte at Westgate, that make up your two best short distance sprinting track stars in our Acadiana area. And I'm not so sure that Jones doesn't have at least a slight edge. Today he looks phenomenal. Let me give you the team rankings update. And this is as of 6:10 p.m. So, hey, it's, you know, 8 minutes old, but it's the most recent we have. After the boys' 110-meter hurdles, here are the standings. Terlings Catholic, the current leader in the clubhouse. The Rebels have 67 points. St. Thomas More with 64 in second. Karen Crow with 55 points, and they shot up after the 100-meter dash. They got 10 points on the back of Jones with a victory and 8 more with Arturo Marks finishing second. So how about that? 18 points in the one race alone, and that's 18 of their 55. So again, as things stand, Terlings at 67, STM at 64, Karen Crow at 55. If you're wondering, Acadiana is currently fourth with 50 points. Those are the team rankings for the boys. On the other side of the ledger, for the girls, still pretty tight. But Lafayette High, the Lady Mighty Lions are on top. They have 88 overall points. STM with 75, and they were second on the boys' side. Right now they're second on the girls' side. And Terlings Catholic with 63 is in third, not far behind, with 57 points, Lafayette Christian Academy. So if you're just now tuning in, this is the first year we've had the 4x800 meters. In fact, only the 3, 4, and 5A schools are doing it. So both of those numbers for the boys and girls this year are meet records because they've never had competition in those categories before. Outside of the 4x800s, we do have three meet records that have been set. C.J. Hill, St. Thomas More, with a 24-foot, 2.5-inch long jump, has set the Beaver Club Relays meet record. So congrats go out to C.J. Hill of St. Thomas More for what he did. And then we just told you Trajan Jones, he is the new record holder for the 100-meter dash, 10.64 seconds. It's absolutely incredible. And I can now confirm, as I mentioned, that the boys 4x200, that's a record as well. The group of Arturo Marks, Jonathan Green, Kendrell Williams, and Trajan Jones, 1 minute, 25.7 seconds. That is a meet record. So we've had some of the records fall, and we've had a lot of great competition. They are nowhere near done yet. In fact, they'll be competing all the way to about 8:30, 8:45. The final ceremonies, the awards, are going to be handed out for the teams at about 9 o'clock tonight. We've had one heck of a show so far. CD, I'm going to let you butt in for a moment. I'll catch my breath because after watching that 10.64, that's something you got to do here in the press box. Give us your take on the Cajuns baseball series, because as a peek over the right field fence right now, UL, take a little BP on the infield. They're going to have to shake things up in the last couple of weeks. We've learned that, right? Gunnar Leje no longer available as a starter. So your take on who they're going to send to the bump tonight and their lot in life against the Sun Belt Conference leaders in Arkansas State.
Oh, it's definitely going to be a real test for the Cajuns tonight. But I think I'm a lot more confident in them than I was heading into last weekend, because one reason only, and I think it's largely because of the fact that I've seen this offense kind of come alive. I saw it on Tuesday night Wednesday night as well, you saw that. So you can wind up saying that the Cajuns are starting to turn things around offensively. The pitching staff's looking a lot better. I think the best part is you saved a good chunk of the bullpen on Tuesday night and a little bit on Wednesday night, even though Dalton Horton had another little of a poor showing. But I think with Jacob Schultz, Austin Perrin, if he has a bounce-back performance, and then Jack Burke on Sunday, as or the second game of the doubleheader, excuse me, a potential rubber match, that could wind up giving the Cajuns a lot more of a good chance of taking at least two out of three. I'm not saying sweep, but I'm saying two out of three could wind up being a huge step in the right direction, especially against, as you mentioned, the best team in the Sun Belt Conference. And Gunnar, I wouldn't be surprised if he shows up maybe in that third game or second game, depending on what kind of situation is.
You know, what do you think the outlook on the rest of the Cajuns' Sun Belt season and season at large, what would that new outlook be if they're able to, say, take two out of three this weekend?
Oh, I think if they take two out of three this weekend, the sky's the limit for this team. I think they could wind up winning the Western Division once again, largely because of the fact that they're starting to click at the right time. And my biggest thing is they need to prove it in this kind of series against, obviously, the best team in the conference. Of course, you're going to be playing Coastal Carolina in a couple weeks. That's going to be another huge test, especially I believe that's going to be out in Conway, South Carolina. That's going to be a real test against the Chanticleers. But the Red Wolves is going to be your first real kind of gut check and see if you can step your game up against an opponent like this, especially as you get closer towards the end of the season. Again, you play some of the really tough opponents. Like I mentioned, Coastal Carolina being one of them.
Heck of a show and heck of a day so far. We do want to thank our guests. We'll do a bit of a recap. And if we get any final results to share with you between now and 6:30, you can trust that your boy will do that. But we've had a lot of fun today. A bit of a surprise guest, I don't mind telling you. We didn't know when we would get her. We were told that there was a good chance that we would get Johanna Duplantis, and we did. So the younger sister of some LSU legends. She's got three older brothers that have preceded her, one that already went through the LSU track and field program under Dennis Shaver, another that is a senior playing for Paul Maneri, Antoine Duplantis, and then the third, well, you might have heard of him, Mondo Duplantis, a freshman all-world performer, setting records, winning national championships, basically, at this point, or on the cusp of it, I should say, at LSU. So great to have Johanna Duplantis aboard. And yes, she took home the girls' pole vault. It was the first event today, and part of the reason she needed to join us so early should have clicked with me. It took a while. I'm slow like that. She and the family wanted to go across the basin. They're watching LSU Texas A&M baseball tonight. So she wants to go watch older brother Antoine Duplantis take on the Aggies. But it was fun catching up with Johanna. Yeah, I mentioned she won the girls' pole vault today at 10 feet even. She called that a mistake. Let that sink in. She won the meet, called it a mistake, said bad days happen. When you consider her mark last year as a freshman to win the 5A outdoor pole vault title, you get a sense, I guess, of why. And she's a fierce competitor, but 11 feet, 6.5 inches was her mark that won it all in 2018. So it was great to catch up for the second straight year with one of the leaping Duplantises. We've also had the pleasure of speaking with Meredith Hebert, St. Thomas More High School. She'll take part in this UL track and field program next year as a distance runner. And already today, her group won the 4x800. She'll be doing the 2 mile here momentarily. She's excited about that. Said she's hoping to beat, well, her previous PR. And she was blazing in doing that. I believe she said 12:22. She's hunting 12:15. So, Meredith, go out there and get it. Good luck with UL next year. And if you were listening at the top of this hour, you heard from Zach Clement. He's been on this program before. Next year, he'll be heading to Northwestern State to play quarterback. But today, it's all about helping his teammates. Loves running the anchor leg, 4x200, 4x400. Anytime your quarterback is running anchor leg, you know you got a gamer and a guy who's capable of doing a lot of different things. So we want to thank all of them, plus our annual sit-down with Coach Lon Vado here for the UL Raging Cajuns. He's found a way to get these plush leather seats. He's given me a little bit of an education on how to get a free trip to Barbados. You call it recruiting, and that's something that I'm going to implement in my life if I can do that. But if they find really good talent in Barbados, I promise you I'll never do this show again. Somebody will come to Lafayette, and life here is pretty darn good. So we want to thank all of our guests, and especially Larry Longclaw and the good folks at the Beaver Club They have an event that continues to grow. And don't forget, it will grow in size next year because, well, it has to. 10 teams in the Parish this year with Southside High becoming a varsity outfit. It becomes an 11-team meet in 2020. Good Lord willing, we'll be here for that one. That'll be the 13th annual Beaver Club Relay, but one step at a time. And finally, we do have to thank Darnell Sykes Guards and Frederick, as well as Darnell Sykes Wealth Partners, our local partners that help make this broadcast possible. It has been a heck of a lot of fun. For the famous Clint D, all of you who listened, who called and interacted on social media, and especially those of you who've been hanging on a thread, you want to get your updates, you've been needing to know, having to know what Trajan Jones is doing, thanks for making us a part of your afternoon and evening. We've got LSU Texas A&M baseball up next. My name is Ben Love, and this has been Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.